Making Contact receives almost all of our support from listeners like you. Please log on to radioproject.org to make a tax-deductible donation and support our work. Thanks, and enjoy.
See, these guys, you just, like, pop that one off. That guy's gonna get nice and big.
That's Joe Shermer, walking us through his 20-acre tomato and vegetable farm in Watsonville, California, a small agricultural town on California's central coast.
It's gonna be an ocean of green, and then an ocean of red, and then an ocean of decaying, dying tomato plant that just is gonna totally dry out, and then back to being soil, we'll cover crop it.
The farm is called Dirty Girl Produce, and at first glance, it doesn't look much different than other farms. There's a tractor in the back of the field, and rows of tomato plants are just starting to break through the dirt. But if you take another look, you might be surprised.
And we're not watering, you know. You don't have to walk over it once a week with big pipe or lay all this plastic tape that then gets into the landfill, you know. I mean, there's so many things that are so satisfying about standing over a field of dry farm tomatoes.
What Joe is doing is called dry farming. People have been doing it for as long as they've been growing food, and it's starting to see a resurgence in California. The tomatoes that Joe grows here use almost no irrigated water. Just the rain, carefully stored in the soil through the winter and spring.
And what'll happen with this soil on the surface, this topsoil, it's just gonna be bone dry. It's gonna be super dry. But you could come out here in September with a shovel and dig down a foot and you already see moisture. There'll still be moisture down there. Versus if you just let it go, you know, you just had a fallow field and you dug down in September, it would just be bone dry. It'd be super hard and all the moisture would be gone. So we're just holding that in. And that's
we're on the central coast, the home of the redwood. So we see a good amount of rain throughout the winter and spring. And Joe works hard to trap as much of that water as he can into the soil. He does it by covering the ground with mulch to keep the winter rains from evaporating in the dry summer season. He plants his tomatoes as far down as he can, because these plants are going to need to dig their roots deep. Once the summer comes, they might not feel a drop of water for the rest of their lives. So they need to travel far, sometimes 10 feet down, in search of every last drop of water.
These plants are not gonna realize that they're dry farmed until, you know, middle to the end of June. In the meantime, they're just gonna be spoiled little brats. They're just gonna be happy. They have so much compost fertilizer, you know, custom compost blend. And they'll grow up about 4 feet to 5 feet and just look super good. And then all of a sudden you get a heat wave and towards the end of June, beginning of July, and they really start feeling it. You know, they don't have just an indefinite amount of water that is easily accessible at the surface. And a lot of people will look at it and go, oh my God, your tomatoes are dying. They have disease or something. Like, nope, they're just dry farm. That's what they do. They just come up and they all of a sudden transform into tomato production and they just get loaded with fruit.
This plant gives up on growing pretty leaves and it focuses all of its energy on making fruit. And this fruit is unlike any other tomato you've tasted.
When you dry farm them, they're super juicy and they get real high acid and high sugar and also a real mineral quality because it's really mining the soil and every drop of water that's coming up is gonna be that much more filled with nutrients and not watered down. You know, it has to work harder, so it's bringing up other stuff as it's going.
Growing food without irrigation is common in other parts of the country. All throughout the Midwest, thousands of acres of wheat fields are dry farmed. But here in California, where much of the state is a semi-desert, most farmers use water as if there were an infinite supply.
California is one of the most productive agricultural states in the nation. About 80% of our total developed supply goes to agriculture.
That's Juliet Christian Smith, a senior research associate with the Pacific Institute, a nonprofit working to find a sustainable future for California agriculture.
Because agriculture is so water intensive in California, it will be one of the first sectors to feel the impacts of climate change, and it will be one of the sectors that really has to be a leader in terms of becoming more efficient in water use and setting the path for other industries.
California grows nearly half of all of the fruits, vegetables, and nuts in the country. And California's Central Valley, a long strip right in the middle of the state, grows the bulk of it. But that might not be true for much longer. While weather patterns change from year to year, some drier and some wetter, the long-term prognosis for California's Central Valley is that the climate will get hotter and drier. Climate scientists predict that summer temperatures could exceed 120 degrees, winter rains could diminish, and the rushing spring snowmelt from California's Sierra Mountains could reduce by as much as 90% by 2050. In the face of all of this, many farmers are struggling to hold on to their traditional way of life.
Don't expect big changes to suddenly appear upon the scene when we talk about California agriculture in particular.
Bill Friedland, Professor Emeritus of Community Studies at the University of California at Santa Cruz.
If you study California agriculture, one of the things you learn is the sheer size of the big agribusiness firms. These are enormous corporations. They're not going to go out of business just because times are hard. They're going to try to figure out ways to survive. So we may be moving into a slightly different kind of system where we get continual experimental activity in agriculture around the edges.
You can grow a huge, lush, beautiful crop without any water at all. People have a tendency, growers, people that are learning how to garden and farm, have a tendency to think more is better. So if I add a little bit of water, it's really good, but if I add more water, it's even better.
That was Jim Leap, the head of the University of California at Santa Cruz's Agroecology Center. He teaches hundreds of students dry farming techniques every year.
When I take the students out and show them those dry farm tomato plants, and we're standing there looking at these plants, and they're just some of the biggest, most beautiful plants on the whole farm. And then I say, okay, and now remember that these haven't had any irrigation. It helps them kind of rethink how they might approach irrigation.
A lot of these places that are having, you know, heavy water issues right now, people are like flood irrigating. You know, it's ridiculous.
We are back on Joe Shermer's farm on California's Central Coast.
So the amount of conservation that can be done is immense.
Joe's farm is tiny compared to the big ag businesses of the Central Valley, and he's in a much wetter region. But there's still a lot that the big boys can learn from Joe's technique. And it sets an example that things can be done differently and still be profitable. Because somewhere along the way, many of the fields that cover California have separated themselves from nature. A strange notion, because when you think about it, what's more natural than growing food? For Making Contact, I'm Joaquin Palomino in Watsonville, California.